Hour number two of the Blitz. It starts right now, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. We're live in your Fan Run radio app. That's free wherever you get your apps. Take us with you on the go. Also live over in your Fan Run radio web browser. But we will forego an opening drive to start off hour two instead. Going to take a trip over to the Big Orange Philly phone lines where we got a call waiting for us from Roberto. Roberto, happy Friday. How are we feeling about Tennessee baseball this weekend?
First of all, if you're willing to forego the opening drive for me, gents, I will try not to suck today. how we feel? You know, I would feel a lot more nervous like you, especially with all the trash talk this week. But I'm a stats guy, and you know that, right?
Right.
The last two games of the season, the most recent two games of the season, were Tennessee's two toughest games. Because they just have to be, right? They're actually tough. You are in a tough road environment. You should have lost against Clemson. I just can't be nervous when your 1-3-3 hitters go 2-for-30 and you still win both of those games.
Yeah,
I have a hard time being nervous that our three alleged best, I use the word best hitters, they're really not the best. Christian Moore's probably the best hitter on the team. Maybe Dickey. I mean, Dickey was 0-for, I think he was 0-for the last two games. I know he was.
Yeah, no, Dickey had some tough luck, I think, too, in that regional.
Yeah, he hit the ball hard.
Times. That's probably a good thing, really, that you were able to win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why I would be a lot more nervous.
I would say it's a good thing, too, that they were hitting the ball hard, because you feel like, okay, everyone else hit last week and they still hit the ball hard. They can join the party, too, down in Hattiesburg.
Yeah, and you know, if they're smart down in Hattiesburg, they're going to stay away from Denton and Moore. They're going to walk them a lot. I mean, the one thing that does worry me is Tanner Hall. I do like that he threw like 175 pitches this weekend.
I think it was 50 something on Monday and 123 on Friday.
Right. So I think it was like 175-ish. That's a lot of work on an arm that's not used to that kind of work. Though he does have the propensity to go pretty deep. I mean, his ERA is 2.08. His WHIP is 1.02.
And he's not going to be afraid to challenge Dickey.
No, he won't. But that's,
Moore,
you know, he's a pretty hard thrower, right? I mean, he can clip into the mid-90s, right?
Yeah, and he's got great stuff, too.
I mean, he's got a wipeout slider.
The real deal. You know, he is one of the best pitchers.
He's going to be drafted in the MLB in the first five rounds. He's a great pitcher. But if there's one thing Tennessee can do, it's hit hard-throwing righties. We do it every day in practice.
Uh-huh.
That's why I have hope with that game, you know? Everybody keeps saying Southern Miss has never seen anything, Tennessee's never seen a pitcher like Tanner Hall. I don't think that's true, but I think I don't think Southern Miss has seen anything like the arms coming out of Tennessee's bullpen. Just their bullpen. I'm not even talking about our starters.
I don't think Southern Miss has faced a lot of teams as deep in the bullpen as Tennessee.
Who's the best team they've beaten this year? Do you know? I do.
The best team they've beaten this year.
Mm-hmm. Their best win.
Did they beat Coastal? Is that their
one
best
time.
Win?
One time. And I don't think it was against Coastal's ace. I could be wrong, but I don't think it was against their ace. They have not faced great pitching this year. That's just true. Tanner Hall being a notable exception, Sunbelt arms are not SEC arms.
Right.
And again,
now we'll say
Sunbelt
arms
really
are good. You know, the Sunbelt probably the fourth
They're
or
good.
Fifth best conference in the country, but...
You said the fourth best?
Fourth or fifth best conference in the country. They're fifth in RPI. I think there's some people
who
can make an argument.
Yeah, I would agree
fourth.
With that. But, I go to Tennessee plays Sunbelt teams in the midweek, and we throw our midweekers against them and usually win. I'm not overly confident because I know Tanner Hall can beat you, but I can also say this. If they do not win his start, that series is over. I don't care what day he starts. If they do not win his start, it's over.
I think the expectation is still that Tanner Hall will start tomorrow. And, yeah, you're right. If Southern Miss throws Tanner Hall and you lose game one anyway, especially if you get a good Tanner Hall outing, that is just such a big gut punch.
Demoralizing.
That you can't really bounce back from it. Now, at the same
time... That's actually what happened in that Samford game.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, you know... to for me to say that's a gut punch that's tough to bounce back from. Well, they did just prove it last weekend. They lost Tanner Hulse.
They played garbage teams, bro. They played garbage teams.
They were fortunate with the way that that tournament set up too. You know, Auburn. I mean, choked under the
they had. Did they have the weakest regional? You think?
I would say that Auburn was the weakest one seed, so I guess that would qualify them probably as the weakest regional. I don't know, because you know Southern Miss is the two seed, makes that a pretty decent regional, but still, just Auburn was the worst one seed.
Not even close, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a difficult path by any means. Again, still impressive to come out of the loser's bracket the way they did after losing that Tanner Hulse start. But
which is what pisses me off the most about them not getting the start till Saturday. They should start today. You should be punished. That's just, especially when you're gifted a regional, you should be punished and have to play a day early. It's just facts. You play out a loser's bracket, you should have to go on Friday, unless you know you have too many teams that have played out a loser's bracket, which you do not.
I mean, you had what? You had eight games.
Florida played out a loser's bracket.
Yeah,
actually.
Florida played out. I mean, you had. Right on Friday, Duke, TCU, and Florida all played on Monday, and they're playing today. But then tomorrow,
well, that's a bit of a misnomer because TCU,
yeah, they didn't come out of the losers
swept
bracket.
Out. I mean, they played on Monday, but they did sweep
right.
out their series.
Right, I was just talking in general about teams that played on Monday, because I think
that's fair.
You had half of the regionals get to Monday just with either postponements or you know those extra games.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. That's a little bit different situation. I'm just talking about if you again probably doesn't matter, but when your dad's on the when you have a team dad on the selection committee, you already knew which way that was going. Let's all be adults here. That stuff happens all the time. I you know, again, I've tried not to suck. I think I have sucked today, but I'll say this statistically, if Tennessee doesn't win this, it's a market upset, in my opinion. Tennessee's minus 175 in Vegas right now. Got bet from 135 to 175. Tennessee is the overwhelming favorite. They're the only favorite that's a road team this week. Did you guys know that?
I did not. That's a good stat though.
I mean, it's because of our arms, and everybody said it. And I'll trust Todd Walker over anything anybody around pretty much has to say. Would you guys agree with that, too?
I like Todd Walker a lot. I mean, Tennessee does have the best arms. It's interesting. This is this Super Regional, I think it was all but two teams in the Super Regionals are top, like, 50 in whip. Some really good pitching.
Really?
That's a great stat. Super.
You know, it's so funny that if that's true – pitching still matters in college baseball. As much as the ping of the bat matters to people, you know, who watch it, pitching is still what wins championships in college baseball. I think it's probably still what wins it in the pros, too, even though it's gone more, you know, baseball is now an offensive game, not a defensive game. But it is the only game, I think, other than cricket, where the defense starts with the ball. I'll leave you with that, guys. I think if Tennessee plays great defense this weekend, they will win easily. If we have no errors, we're winning. See ya.
Good to hear from you, Roberto, as always.
Thanks for calling.
Tennessee does need to play great defense this weekend. That was what they did a weekend ago.
Yeah, I thought that's what they did in Clemson really well.
In Clemson, yeah, if you don't play great defense, then we're having a sad Friday. I mean, we're talking about games that we're not a part of and trying to figure out how to get through 2 hours of radio. So defense was huge in Clemson. I mean, you think, obviously, to a couple of plays Maui Ahuna made over at short. I think he's hitting a stride defensively we haven't seen from him yet this year in the last, you know, closing weeks of the season. He's been unbelievable at short. And that was the defense we heard about from him all year long, but we didn't always get it. He's playing great defense. Zane Denton is playing some excellent defense. He came up on a couple of slow rollers, charged a couple of bunts, and made some excellent plays over at third. You had Christian Moore. Or not, excuse me, Christian Scott in right field, throwing a guy out at second in a moment that I don't think, you know, was all that big when we reflect upon that game, but probably should be considered a pretty big moment, all things considered, in that Clemson game. You had this team just by the tip of a toe turn a double play just to keep their season alive, essentially.
Right.
You know, you had a play early in the game, too, that I don't think people paid a lot of attention to, where Blake Burke had to stretch for one at first and then had the awareness and just the ability to quickly flip his hips and fire it at home to get a guy trying to steal a run essentially on Tennessee. You know, there were a lot of instances where there was big-time pressure on Tennessee's defense, and we've seen that defense falter on the road, and they made the plays you needed them to. And it was, again, it was contributions all the way around. You know, even Ethan Payne making a great stretch at first, the last guy to travel for Tennessee. And, you know, he is one of the guys that scores in the top of the ninth after he pinch runs for Blake Berg, and then he makes a great stretch too. So you got team contributions, and he played great defense. That has to continue this weekend. Andrew Lindsay, I thought, was really good on Friday against Charlotte. I didn't think it was his best stuff. His best stuff was maybe the week before in South Carolina, but it was really good from Andrew Lindsay. You need another big start for him. It's going to be a tough spot for Andrew Lindsay. That'll really be interesting to see is how does he match up with Tanner Hall? How does he go up against Tanner Hall on Saturday? Chase Dolander, I thought, against Clemson, just another instance we've seen far too often this year where he doesn't really have his best stuff, or he's missing arm side. He's dragging that right arm. He's leaving that slider in, leaving that fastball high and away. Thought, again, just like we've seen several times this year, did a really nice job of battling through not having your best stuff. But it sure would be nice if Chase Dolander has his best stuff on Saturday. And then if you get to Drew Beam, if this gets to Monday, you know, I think for Southern Miss to win this Super, they need to do it in two. Because if you get to a Monday game and it's Drew Beam,
shut it down.
I have full confidence in Tennessee because like not only will it be Drew Beam, but the resources that you'll have available out of the bullpen will far surpass whatever Southern Miss will
Absolutely.
Have left on Monday. But Drew Beam was fantastic against Charlotte. He was actually missing with the fastball some. More misses with the fastball than I've seen for him in a while. But his slider was wipeout, dude. His slider was the best I've seen it. And he was changing its break, too. He was throwing it tighter and harder a couple of spots, you know, taking it inside, front door, and some righties. But then he was also letting it spin more and throwing it a little bit slower and having some of those big sweeping sliders, too, that were getting guys to chase. But Drew Beam was throwing that slider for a strike. He was hitting the zone at the bottom of the zone consistently with that slider. And if you get that Drew Beam, and again, with everything else you'll have left on Monday, presumably with how deep this bullpen is, I would feel very good about it. You got to get past Tanner Hall.
Right.
And again, Tanner Hall is the kind of pitcher that can win you a game. And I'm sure Southern Miss, they're going to have some extra juice. You know, they're probably pretty disappointed with how that Super Regional went in Hattiesburg last year where they got blanked by Ole Miss, where an SEC team came to their town, came to their place, and whooped up on them pretty good.
Yeah, Southern Miss has all the motivation in this Super, whereas Tennessee, you know, we'll find out what they're playing for sure, if they're, you know, how into it are they, but you know Southern Miss is going to be.
That environment is going to be crazy.
I can't wait.
I'm glad it's a 3 o'clock game, quite honestly.
Yeah, me too. I got to play golf in the morning and then finish up, throw on the Super.
Playing golf in the morning?
Yeah. Yeah, fired up for that.
I wish I was playing golf in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, this radio show is really cutting into my golf time in the morning, so I just get Saturday now.
Oh,
and it's worth it to talk to you, Charlie.
Yeah, you a big weekend or weekday golf guy?
Yeah, because I mean I don't go to work till 2:30, so I usually can squeeze in at least 9.
I'm a big fan. Big fan of some weekday golf. I like to play weekdays at like 1-2 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as there's no crowd out there, it's a good time. It's always a good time to play golf. Who are we kidding? But yeah, I'm fired up to watch. So we don't know when Tanner Hall is going to pitch for sure yet, right? But we think it's going to be tomorrow.
All indications say, yeah, it'll be tomorrow.
And do you think they would try and do the quick turnaround again if it got to Monday like they did in the regional?
I don't know. I mean, they tried to use him as an opener, and it didn't really go well.
Right.
You know, I mean, again, he did it last year, too, threw on a Friday, and then they used him again on a Monday opener, and it went well. against Penn on Monday, he threw, it was two innings and two runs on three hits. So I don't know if they would do that again, but I could definitely see it being in the cards. Biggest plus for me, though, is that he's not a left-hander. I mean, Tennessee has just struggled so much this year with those left-handers, some of those soft-throwing lefties, some of those guys that can. I mean, if you have a left-hander that can throw off-speed pitches for strikes, Tennessee will struggle. It's just been that way all year long. It's a very lefty-heavy lineup too. Caden Grice for Clemson, he was able to do that. Tennessee struggled. He also had a really nice scout on a couple of Tennessee hitters too. But hard-throwing righty with some stuff. I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
I think Tennessee is going to be able to hit Tanner Hall. Again, you know, that's a tough ask just because of how good he's been this year, but I'm all about getting a righty in there and seeing what we can do. Beat Tanner Hall. I mean, Roberto said it. I was saying it. Beat Tanner Hall. That is just such a gut punch to Southern Miss. Hey, we threw our best arm, our future MLB pitcher, and we're still down 1-0, and now we got to beat these guys that have more pitching with us in back-to-back days. Man, that stinks. Like,
yeah,
that's the spot you can get them in. But we'll catch a break here. We'll keep talking Hattiesburg on the other side. Stay with us on the Blitz. Still waiting to hear from our guy Logan Quinton. We're a little slow on this Friday morning, but short segment here, just kind of continuing to talk college baseball. Four super regionals get started today. The rest underway tomorrow. Matthew, have you been looking at these matchups? What outside of obviously Tennessee Southern Miss, what intrigues you most here?
Going back to our draft, you know, the question of can Wake Forest, you know, who's been so dominant all year, can they make it all the way to Omaha? What were the stats that you gave out about the one seeds or the number one team in the country?
I don't know if I gave out a stat. I just know one seed ever. Has ever won the College World Series.
Yeah, so I am interested to see where they go, not only through the Super against Alabama, but how far they can go in the long run. I like this UVA team a lot as well. And then just a little conference pride, man. I mean, there's so many SEC teams left still. Let me ask you this. Would you rather the most amount of SEC teams like get through because Tennessee is more familiar with them, or would you rather have the least amount of SEC teams because that has been such a good baseball conference this year?
Wait, so in Omaha, most or least amount of SEC teams?
Yeah.
I think it kind of depends on the team. So, like, you're going to end up with SEC teams out of Florida and Kentucky, you know, South Carolina, LSU, you're going to end up with two of them no matter what.
Yeah, two of those.
But the only other spot that you can get an SEC team or somebody else is that Alabama-Wake Forest regional.
Yeah, so you'd take Alabama.
I'd take Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then again, if Alabama is good enough to beat Wake Forest too, then, I mean, Alabama's pretty scary in their own right, the way that they've been the way that they've just been on fire since Brad Bohannon got the boot. I think 14-3 since then.
Okay.
So I still probably lean wanting to get Wake Forest, but...
But what a crazy story that was, the Bohannon gambling thing.
I still can't believe what happened there. I don't think it was some big coordinated plan necessarily. You know,
yeah.
Some big scheme.
Yeah, I don't know if it was
created
a conspiracy
by the two of them to try to win a bunch of money. I still think it was something as dumb as
just in, like, a bar
Bohannon,
together, just like
Bohannon,
yeah, this guy's not
talking
going
on the phone to one of his buddies and being like, "Oh man, this sucks. Like, you know, so and so can't go today. Now I'm going to throw this kid."
Yeah, exactly.
And then his dumb buddy just being like, "Oh, $100,000.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. But yeah, I'm fired up. What is the Super outside of Tennessee you're most excited to watch? Duke UVA is probably mine. So
Duke UVA?
Yes. Just because I am I do like that UVA team. Wahoo wah.
I think Florida South Carolina is just going to be really, really good. South Carolina, I mean, they had an argument to be one of the best. They had an argument to be the number one ranked team in the country for a while this year. And then, you know, they dealt with some injuries. Will Sanders, one of their best pitchers, was injured. Will McGillis was hurt as well. Everything went wrong for South Carolina. They ended the season, you know, losing 2 out of 3 to Tennessee. They didn't do anything in the SEC tournament. Probably lucky to still even remain as one of the top 16 seeds. But then I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just the week off, the extended time off for South Carolina between the SEC tournament and regionals taking place. Maybe it was the fact that Will McGillis was able to play in regionals after being injured for a little bit. But South Carolina returned to form last weekend. South Carolina returned back to that team that looked like they could be the number one team in the country. And the team that South Carolina was for the first 3/4 of the season was a team that would have been a top like 6 national seed. So if they're that team again this weekend against Florida, we're talking about two of the, you know, 6 or 7 best teams in the country.
Yeah.
And some massive names as well. You know, you got Ethan Petrie and Jack Caglione going at it. Wyatt Langford, one of the best players in the entire country for Florida. That pitching rotation has come around pretty well for Florida here as of late. But South Carolina has the bats. I just think that is going to be a great environment down in the swamp, and we're going to get some really good baseball there. Pretty pumped tonight for Oregon and Oral Roberts, too.
Yeah, you like that Oral Roberts team.
I really like this Oral Roberts team. They hit 324. They've won 23 games in a row and 28 of their last 29. They have a guy on their team with a 40-plus game hit streak. They have multiple guys on their team hitting over 400. Their entire starting lineup hits essentially over 300. They only lost one game in Summit League play all year. I think they were either 23 or 24-1 in conference play. They went into Stillwater and just completely dominated offensively. They swang the bats at a high level. Were ultra competitive, and it really wasn't ever in a whole lot of doubt. I mean, they took care of Oklahoma State on night one. Comeback, they score a ton of runs against Washington. Washington did mount somewhat of a comeback, but Oral Roberts still won that game by, I think, 4 runs. And then in that regional championship against Dallas Baptist, took care of business as well. So I don't really expect anything to change for Oral Roberts. I think that they're going to go into Eugene and keep swinging the bats. And you're looking, I mean, this is the series that's obviously going to give us the most surprising team to make it to Omaha.
Right. So, yeah, that's a good point.
I love underdogs. I'm excited to see if Oral Roberts can continue. Same notion goes, I guess, for TCU, Indiana State.
Yeah.
I probably would have given the edge to Indiana State if it would have stayed in Terre Haute, but TCU going to be a tough place to play. TCU just went 12 runs, 20 runs, and 12 runs to sweep
a lot of
the
offense.
Fayetteville Regional. And they had a guy, Trey Richardson, that hit 2 home runs all year, but then hit 2 grand slams in the first 2 innings against Arkansas. Hit another grand slam the next day. Pumped to see if those TCU bats keep going. TCU's been a really fun team to watch. They won 12 of their last 13 games, made a run, won the Big 12 tournament, and now they're here in a Super Regional, too. Indiana State, I mean, they swept their regional, and it was a tough regional, top 3 regional in terms of RPI, but they had to come back in every game. They were losing and had to mount a comeback against Wright State. Same goes for Iowa twice. I wonder, you know, if that trend continues. I just don't think TCU is gonna be the same type of teams that we saw from Iowa and Wright State. I don't think you can mount those same kind of comebacks against TCU. But just really good baseball all around this weekend.
Is there any regional that's going to be a sweep this weekend?
I think we'll probably get a couple.
Give me two that I can parlay together.
Two sweeps?
Yeah.
I could see Virginia sweeping Duke.
Yeah.
And I could see TCU sweeping Indiana State. I think South Carolina and Florida goes to Monday. I could see Oral Roberts sweeping. I think Wake and Alabama, I mean, Wake did just cruise through the Winston-Salem regional, just dominated George Mason in Maryland. The curse of the one seed, though, still gives me weird vibes. I could see that getting to Monday. I think Tennessee Southern Miss potentially gets to Monday. Texas and Stanford probably gets to Monday. But in terms of sweep candidates, I'd probably go TCU, Oral Roberts, and Duke.
Yeah, I like that.
Maybe LSU. You know, you get Paul Skeens tonight, probably give you a 1-0 lead. Then you just got to go win one more game. Ty Floyd on the mound. I could see LSU being a sweep too. But I'm really excited about just the super regionals that we have as a whole. I think we have some fantastic super regionals. We got some great matchups. I think you lost just a little bit less than half of your national seeds. You know, you still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of these 16 national seeds left. So we got a good mix of teams in there. We have some teams that have been around the last couple of years. We have some teams that haven't been around in a while. We have some upsets. We have some of our favorites in there. Even a team like Wake Forest, that's the best team in the country, they still, you know, haven't been to Omaha in forever.
Yeah, it's not a given.
I want to say it was the 50s. So even with them, that's still parity to some extent. Out of the top 8 seeds even, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. You only had 4 of your national seeds make it out.
Right.
And, you know, you lost your 2, or you have your 1 in Wake Forest, you have your 2 in Florida. Your 3's gone. Your 4's gone. Your 5 is still there in LSU. 6 is gone. And then Virginia 7 and Stanford 8. So it's been pretty chaotic. Watching to see if the chaos continues this weekend and just hoping for some great baseball. But we are 25 minutes away from Super Regionals. And I am juiced.
Yeah.
I love college baseball. I love when everyone this time of year kind of comes out of the woodwork sometimes and joins in on this college baseball love. I think it's a great time. It's a great postseason. It's well executed.
It's a great sport.
We'll catch a break here. We'll make some predictions and such on the other side. Stay with us on the Blitz. All right, wrapping up on this Friday, 11:39, man. We're almost there. Really, once you get to your lunch break Friday, I mean, that's the day. You're just,
it's easy, brother.
Yeah, you're just you're going all down. It's all downhill from there, but not in like the bad way.
Yeah, in a very good way.
And like the, you're just coasting. You know, you don't have to pedal anymore. You just ride the bike down the hill, let it go. Big sports weekend too is what we got. The Heat. They're going back to the travel schedule, so that's not again until Monday. But
right.
Still NBA Finals game 4 tonight. And again, a whole weekend of Super Regionals, Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup Finals. We get game 4 tomorrow.
Yep. Big win for the Panthers last night, too.
I wasn't able to really to watch that game, but I was very glad that the Panthers were able to get it to 2-1.
Yes, yeah,
I would have been so disappointed if we just don't get a good series at all in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
Just because of how good these playoffs have been. I mean, how anticlimactic would it be if Vegas just won,
sweep,
you know, 3, you know, 4-0 or 4-1. So I hope they pull off game 2. It seems like the Heat and Panthers performances have somehow been synonymous throughout this playoff. So,
yeah, in lockstep.
Hopefully, hopefully we're just you know, we're just all winning game two or game four and getting things back to 2-2 in South Beach. But big sports weekend, time to make some predictions. Ready to run through these?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to make some super regional predictions.
Love it.
So starting with Duke and Virginia.
You want me to make a game pick or series?
Series.
Yeah, UVA easy.
Taking UVA?
Yep.
I don't get I there's something weird with the vibes with UVA. It's hard to put it into words necessarily. I don't think Duke will be the team to get them. I think that Geloff and Kyle Teal both will be too much, that lineup for Virginia will just be too much. I mean, they hit the heck out of the ball. It is unfair when you look at this Virginia lineup. This is the batting average throughout their order.
Hit me.
391, 359, 330. Then you got Kyle Teal, who's hitting 423. Then 372. Then don't worry, you get a little bit of a break with Carson Sake. He's only hitting 296.
Yeah, nothing.
That's then you jump right back up to 343, and that's 1-7.
Yeah, that's a tough lineup.
I just don't think that Duke has the firepower to beat him, so I'm also going Virginia. TCU and Indiana State, that one in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I'll take the Horned Frogs there. As you talked about the offense, I'm in on the Frogs.
I got to agree with you there. Yeah, TCU just hitting the ball far too well. Right now, I don't think that slows down, and Indiana State just don't have a ton of confidence in them after their own regional. I picked them initially when the brackets came out to get to Omaha, but I thought they would be playing Arkansas too.
Right.
See how that goes. I'm in a bracket pool I'm doing well in right now.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
I'm in second place, but I hit a couple of big upsets. I have a couple more that I need to land, so I think I need Indiana State to win that. I think it's like $300.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, I'll take it. South Carolina, Florida.
I'm actually going to take the Gamecocks here.
Yeah?
You talked me into it, yeah.
You think they're getting out of it?
Yeah, you talked me into it. You know, turning things around, stepping in the right direction, getting back to the team that they were at their best at times this season. So, yeah, give me the Gamecocks.
I like that pick. I don't think I'm going to take it, but I like that pick a lot. I think Florida just still has too much. I give them the edge just because it's in the swamp, because it's in Gainesville. Right. I think this does go to Monday. I think it goes to a game three, or Sunday, I guess, for them, because it's starting on Friday. I think it does go to a game three. I'm not going to take South Carolina. Just, again, Wyatt Langford, Jack Caglione, and Brandon Sproat, and all the different pitching that Florida has, the bats that Florida has, there's just too much there. I picked them to win the national championship before when the brackets dropped. So I'll go ahead and stick with Florida, and then Oral Roberts in Oregon to close out tonight.
Give me I'll get on the Oral Roberts bandwagon with you.
Let's
go. If
you
like him, I trust you.
Let's
go. You know, you're a lot more locked in than me. Much more knowledgeable in the baseball space. So let's go Oral.
Let's go Oral. Nothing left to be said.
Yeah.
Just Oral all weekend, dude. They hit. They don't do a whole lot of pitching, but they do enough pitching with how well they hit.
To get by. Okay.
Yeah, I'm rolling with the Oral Roberts. And then tomorrow, Alabama and Wake get started.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take Wake, I guess.
Not going to take the upset here?
No. I go back to our draft of teams to go to Omaha, and I think Wake Forest does make it at least that far. So, yeah, I'll take Wake. So, you picking the upset?
I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
And one seeds do struggle, but I think that they'll still get to Omaha. I close my eyes and I imagine Rhett Lauder, All-American pitcher for Wake Forest, pitching against Alabama.
Throwing an absolute gem.
And I just can't imagine a world where Alabama wins.
Or they even touch him.
And then, you know, so I think they win the Rhett Lauder game, and then it just becomes
win one more.
Yeah, win one out of two, and you know, I just think Wake Forest is too talented for that. But again, I do I do like what this Alabama team has going on. I wouldn't be the most surprised in the world if Alabama were to pull off an upset. It gives me the same kind of vibes as we got from Texas basketball this year when Chris Beard got fired.
Yeah.
You know, when there's this kind of like big adverse situation, but it's not brought on by the players themselves. I think it's kind of something when you get an older team like Alabama, it's something that you can rally around.
That's a great point.
It's something that, you know, can spark you, and it sparked Alabama clearly. So they clearly have a little bit of magic behind them. Again, 14-3, they made a decent run in SEC tournament as well down in Hoover, but still just got to go Wake Forest, man. When you think about it, right? Wake Forest, they lead the nation with an ERA 2.82. To put that in perspective, no other team has an ERA sub 3.
Wow.
The only the next closest team was Northeastern at 3.57, and only 6 teams have a sub 4 ERA. So, Wake Forest, man, they're just
dominant.
You know, we talked last year, Tennessee probably was, and I'll still agree to this even with the way the season ended, still is. That Tennessee team last year, the best college baseball team we've ever seen.
Yeah, it was incredible.
At least, you know, it didn't end well. You know, it didn't achieve the most we've ever seen. But in terms of collection of talent, in terms of a regular season, it was the best team we've ever seen. And this Wake Forest team could give that group a run for their money. They have also done some unbelievable things this year. Continuing on, making some predictions for some super regionals. Kentucky and LSU, a rematch of a really good series this weekend we saw down in what is it, Call Stadium?
Mm.
The box or something like that? I forget.
Yeah, I'll still stick with LSU here.
Alex Box.
Yeah. Sure.
Alex Box Stadium is what I was getting to.
You got there. Yeah, give me the Tigers. Yourself?
I'm going to take the Tigers, too. Yeah. I think, again, just it's such a big advantage when you have Paul Skeens so that you can throw game one.
Right, yeah.
And then set yourself up again. Hey, just got to win one out of two at home. That's it.
Yeah, it is kind of
just
got to
keep Kentucky from winning two in a row. Just it's so easy to win. And it's not, I mean, it's not easy to win a regional, but it's so much easier when you can just have a guy like Paul Skeens. And then out in Stanford, Palo Alto, Texas, heading to town. Stanford with an impressive run through the loser's bracket to get here. They had to come back down a run against Cal State Fullerton and then beat A&M twice. Who gets into Omaha out of that group?
Yeah, I mean, the A&M thing, the run that Stanford went on, super impressive, but I'm going Longhorns here.
I am too. I don't think that they have the killer instinct that they need. There's something about the Stanford team. They just don't quite do it for me. I was blown away by the fact they got out of that regional with Texas A&M. I figured once A&M won that game, it would be over with.
Right.
But I'm still just going to keep picking against Stanford. Texas, I think, has really found a groove. I think Texas is a very dangerous baseball team right now. I think it's probably a valuable play at this point, too, in the markets.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's a Texas team that has found their stride pitching. Gordon Form, he's 7-1 on the year. Last Friday, he went 7 innings, only gave up 1 run. Then you had a guy, LeBrian Johnson, who will be a draft pick soon. He's 8-3. He went a full 9 innings and threw 129 pitches last Saturday against Miami in a 4-1 victory, struck out 8. And then Tanner Witt, who is one of the better pitchers in the country, projected early second-round pick, maybe back into the first. He got hurt and was able to come back in May, and he's been working his way back some. He threw 2 innings against Miami on Sunday. I like the groove that Texas has found themselves in, and again, I find them to be a pretty dangerous team. I think they get out of the Stanford Regional.
Love it. Yeah. All right, so we're aligned on a lot of these.
Yeah, we're maybe too aligned on some of these.
Yeah,
but,
I think South Carolina and Florida was the only one really split apart on.
We'll catch a break. We'll end the show on the other side with our Tennessee official predictions and our best bet on the way out as well. Stay with us on the Blitz. All right, wrapping up the show the way we always do with a little best bet. But first, it's time. Official prediction. Need to know Does Tennessee make it out of Hattiesburg and get to Omaha? If they do, how many games does it take? And who will be the Super Regional MVP?
I think they win in three games. And I took Lindsey for the MVP of the regional. I'll take a shot with Dickey to bounce back and have a big super. I think Southern Miss does take one game off of them, though, and I don't even know that necessarily it has to be the Tanner Hall game. I don't know why, but just I have that feeling. So I'll take the Vols on Monday.
Vols on Monday? I mean, Southern Miss does have some other arms. It'll be Billy Oldham in game two. He's crafty. Got him from the D3 ranks, and it's funny. He actually just played summer ball with some of Southern Miss's relievers, and they went to bat for him. They said, hey, you need this guy. Southern Miss went and snagged him, and he's been their Saturday starter. He was great against Auburn, pitched again against Penn. They have some dudes in the bullpen that can really give them some extended innings. Justin Storm is their closer, but he's given them 5-plus innings of scoreless relief twice in the postseason already. Again, this will not be easy. With that being said, though, I think Tennessee goes down there and gets it done, and I think they do take that Tanner Hall game and finish this thing in two.
Okay.
They finish it on a Sunday, and I think they punch their ticket to Omaha for the second time in 3 years. It's going to be a big old party, big old celebration, going to be a great week coming up next week. And I think that Blake Burke gets it together. I think he ends up being the Super Regional MVP. We've seen him change his approach up. You know, I think he's hit some balls hard. Still been frustrated. The body language hasn't been great, but it's been picking up. He made that great defensive play. I think that sparked him a little bit. He got on base when he needed to against Clemson, even if it wasn't, you know, the big hits. And I think you can see his approach has changed recently. He's been trying to take a more up-the-middle approach, trying to hit the ball back up the middle, back where it came from. And he's so close to finding a groove, even in the regional championship against Charlotte, a sack fly to center field that, you know, found the deepest part of the field but could have been gone left or right. So I think that Blake, maybe this is just me being overly optimistic, I think that Blake Burke finally finds his groove just in time for the Vols to find their way to Omaha. Skipping best bet, we'll just wrap up the show instead. Picking Tennessee. Going to be a great weekend. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock. I'm jealous we're not playing today, but we got college baseball in 4 minutes. Going to be a good, good sports weekend. One of those park your butt in front of a TV type weekends. Tennessee, though, can't wait. But for today's show, hey, appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you tuning in throughout the week. Hope you have a great weekend. For Matthew Gill, I'm Charlie Collier. This has been The Blitz. Give me some Rocky Top on the way out, actually. Turn this neon moon off. We hear it all the time. I need to hear some Rocky Top on the way out. Let's have a weekend. Come on. Drive up next at 3. There we go.